Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Greetings, one and all. If you've been a trendy for a while now, here's some things you probably know. This show is sponsored by Cobra Electronics. They're generous, so that you don't have to pay to hear this podcast. You probably know that I avoid stories about people with hard-to-pronounce names. And you probably know that a surefire way to get some trending action going is to die. Since I last recorded this podcast, these people, and probably quite a few others, have died. Actor Mickey Rooney, comedian John Panette, model Peaches Geldof, and at least one other dude that I'll get to later. On Monday, Kate Middleton was trending after appearing in public dressed as either a 1930s bellhop or one of the Emperor's royal guards from Return of the Jedi. Take your pick. You'll be right either way. Oscar Pistorius, a Paralympian from South Africa, was trending high on Monday as his murder trial continues. He is accused of shooting and killing his 29-year-old girlfriend in a fit of rage on Valentine's Day last year. His defense says that Pistorius thought he was shooting at an intruder in his home, only afterward realizing the figure was his girlfriend. Journalists in South Africa are calling it their country's trial of the century, and I would typically take this opportunity to belittle South African journalists, but I was surprised to discover that this trial has been given its own cable channel that delivers not only gavel-to-gavel coverage, but endless amounts of analysis and recap of the daily proceedings as well. If Pistorius is convicted, he will spend at least 25 years in prison. The New York Times believes this has so infatuated South Africans because Pistorius is one of the country's only celebrities. Also trending big on Monday was Valeria Lukyanova, and I have to admit, upon first looking at this story, I was not entirely sure what it was that I was reading. That's because Lukyanova seems like a character in the video game The Sims, and not at all like a real person. Which, it turns out, has been her life's goal. The 28-year-old human Barbie doll, who currently resides in the Ukraine, or just Ukraine, does strike me as being a tad inhuman. She's got a soulless gaze to rival that of Scarlett Johansson. I looked at this photo and I thought, that cannot be a real person. It is not possible. Luckily for me, Google Trends, which is how I measure what stories trended at certain levels, allows me to summon other images of the subject. And there were hundreds of equally inhuman photos of the human Barbie doll, and not in a Sims gameplay screen capture. I am pretty sure some will haunt me for years to come. Valeria was not trending because of her soulless gaze. She was trending because she made some insane remark about interracial relationships making more people ugly. And my eyes already hurt from putting them so close to the screen while I was still in that cannot be an earthling phase. So I could not bear to finish whatever it is she said. I did, however, discover that there is a man referred to as the human Ken doll. His name is Justin Jedlicka. Justin has admitted to having over 90 surgeries to achieve his desired look, and just to be clear, that is the look desired by him, as opposed to desired by women, or men, or anyone that isn't him. For the purpose of a photo shoot, someone with a great sense of humor got human Ken and human Barbie dolls into a room together. And even just 16 sentences deep into their existence, I wanted to know what happened. And of course, they did not get along, and have since engaged in an internet feud. Vapid is as vapid does. Valeria claims to have had just one surgery to achieve her desired look, that being the inhuman one, and took umbrage with Justin calling her an illusion, when he has had 89 more admitted surgical procedures. I know there is a real mental disorder where people become addicted to plastic surgery, because I saw an episode of Law & Order where that came up. And Law & Order is a more credible source than HollywoodLife.com and The Huffington Post combined. What kind of jobs do these human doll people have that they can afford hundreds of thousands of dollars in plastic surgery? The Ukraine, or Ukraine, has more millionaires per capita than any other country on Earth. So maybe Valeria is from a wealthy family. Or maybe she collects dues from her team of acolytes. Valeria has a stable of females that aspire to her doll-like appearance. I don't know what's involved in that, but the YouTube video I watched, of them all together, looks like a still life of mannequins with animatronic eyelids that blink in predetermined intervals. My immediate reaction to seeing photos of these folks is, what goes through their heads? In human Ken doll's case, he is an openly gay Catholic of Slovak descent, so you can see how he's sailing for mental issues before surgery number one. What's up with you, Valeria? Ah, I almost forgot. You're nuts. Valeria says by 2015, she'd like to become breatharian. Those are people that have these two things in common. One, they do not eat or drink. Two, they subsist entirely on air and sunlight. Oh, and the third thing they all have in common, they're all dead. Much quicker than the rest of us, I mean. I gotta move on, or this whole episode is gonna be about these people. On Tuesday, 500,000 people Googled the term heartbleed, which is a bug or weakness that hackers can exploit to obtain confidential information by those thinking they're protected by the encryption standard that applies to the majority of internet users worldwide. Though revealed to the world on Tuesday, heartbleed was actually discovered 2 years ago by the National Security Agency. You remember them. They were the NSA on the X-Files. The NSA kept their discovery hidden from the technologists that could have been working to solve the problem so that they could add it to their toolbox of exploits and hacks. This goes against an edict from President Obama, who gave the NSA a zero-day guideline, meaning that they were not to mine data using otherwise undiscovered vulnerabilities that had 0 days to be patched. This story was brought to light by Bloomberg News journalist Michael Riley, who further shocked the American public on Tuesday when he published documents online showing that the NSA is actually Hydra, followed by a JPEG of director Richard Leggett pulling off his mask to reveal the Red Skull. Okay, I want to turn now to some listener feedback I've received. First, thank you, Donnie Turner, for leaving me that 5-star review in iTunes. You have proven to me that you are a man of class and refinement, and that you know a thing or two about responsible reviewership. I will excuse that you titled your review Cheese Danish. Loyal Trendies, the change in weather means it is time now for you to navigate your way to the iTunes store, search up The Trending Show, and leave me your 5-star review. You may title your review after any pastry you please. No judgment here. I am truly thankful for those of you that take the time to leave me such reviews. I was less pleased about an email I got about a week back railing against this podcast and calling for remarks in 2 recent episodes to be edited out of the program. Abigail, while I am sorry to have offended you, I object to and will now contest many of the points in your message. But first, you are completely correct in that I am a buffoon. Yes, I do know that I mispronounce the name of our president. That is what is sometimes known as a running gag. This podcast features more than its fair share. I would also like for you to know that when you say you would never listen to a show as juvenile and asinine as this one, that I do not believe you. Not because I am an imbecile, but because you could not have quoted the lines to me in your email unless you listened to the podcast. So, while I will apologize for offending you with my remarks about Fred Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church, I will not apologize for making them, nor will I have the past podcasts edited to remove those remarks. The death of Fred Phelps amounts to no reparations for the people whose lives he hurt by organizing and or executing protests and demonstrations with hate-filled rhetoric at the funerals of soldiers, the funeral of Matthew Shepard, who was beaten to death for being gay, picketing the funerals of the Sandy Hook, Connecticut school shooting victims, and countless others. Fred Phelps did not choose to die, but he did choose to sow hatred and discord every chance he got, and all the tears and heartache that man caused to people across the globe are neither remedied nor healed by the simple fact that he is now deceased. While I appreciate your argument that the people who did love Fred Phelps are in a state of mourning right now, that does not extend a get-out-of-jail-free card to life's biggest troll, even if that troll is worm food at the moment. I don't have any opinion on whether or not Fred Phelps was a loving man who cared about his followers and his mission, misguided as it clearly was, and appealing for sensitivity as it relates to a man who wiped his rear end with sensitivity and flushed it away decades before he found himself in an adult diaper, is perhaps the most perfect practical explanation of the meaning of the word laughable. Sensitive to the feelings of others, respectful of what his surviving family must be enduring. Abigail, are you sure you are appealing to me, the host of The Trending Show, for these things, and not making a posthumous plea to a man so bereft of human compassion that he was, as recently as 22 months ago, being counter-protested for his hateful insensitivity by members of the Ku Klux Klan? Yes, while passing out American flags at a military funeral, Imperial Wizard of the KKK, Dennis Labonte, said of Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church, quote, It's an absolute shame that they show up and disrupt people's funerals. End quote. Trendies, let that digest for a moment. How crazy evil must you be that the KKK seems reasonable compared to you? Abigail, contrary to what you have written, I do not compose the trending show by wondering how I can offend people. Rather, I look at the stories that have trended at peak levels and deliver them, slightly skewered, in a way that would make me laugh. If somebody else picks up on all these comic book references, that's just icing on top. Comic books are the medium the Turn All Kids Gay, if that was over your head. You should really read Seduction of the Innocent. I knew something was weird about Robin in those little green short shorts he wears. Oh, it's all so clear now, Dr. Wortham. Timing is a big part of comedy, so I am told by people that are funny. And the timing of the death of the Ultimate Warrior, as it relates to many things, is funny. The Ultimate Warrior was two things: a professional wrestling character that enjoyed great popularity in the 80s and 90s, and also a man, once known as Jim Hellwig, who upset lots of people with things he said and did during his 54 years in this dimension. I have great fondness for the face-painted, overly muscular spastic freak that would run to the ring, shake the ropes, and barely execute a wrestling move, sometimes while talking to his hands, or to mysterious unseen cosmic forces that guided his destiny. I have no fondness for the former Jim Hellwig, the things he said in his blog or during public appearances that he made, or the way he regarded the people that made him, the people that had to work with him, and the people that cheered him. The fact that he died on Tuesday and trended higher than any other story in 2014 so far does not excuse his transgressions. It would be very easy for me to give him a get-out-of-jail-free card because, as someone who is part of professional wrestling and a longtime fan of the art form, I, like most others, want to remember the television character we all found so engaging, and we want to celebrate the positives as a means of combating the dark pallor a premature death casts over us all. But our sentimentality does not absolve his past. Choosing to remember what we liked about him does not erase the things we despised about him. On Tuesday, over 3.5 million people Googled the search term Ultimate Warrior. On Wednesday, people searched up Toyota Recall, because the car manufacturer is recalling 6.4 million vehicles they made under the Toyota banner, and another 700,000 they made for General Motors and Subaru, all due to safety concerns. Wait a minute. Toyota makes cars for General Motors and Subaru? How is that not the lead item here? TheEconomist.com asks, what does this say about the overall state of quality control in the automotive industry? Well, the trending show asks, are we the only ones that find it weird that Toyota is manufacturing cars sold as GMs or Subarus? The array of defects that have triggered the recall affect such non-essential parts of your car as the steering wheel and the airbags. So, you may want to visit Toyota.com, where their VIN lookup feature will tell you if your vehicle has any outstanding recalls on it. That is, before your vehicle accelerates at random, the steering wheel falls off, and the airbags fail to deploy when you Lee Majors it right off Dead Man's Curve. You know, that story seems like a fine segue to driver safety, and that brings me directly to our show's sponsor, Cobra Electronics. Android device users, the Cobra Joyride is just for you. This smart charger makes travel with your Android device a cinch, with voice commands allowing you to launch and use apps with a single touch, and customizing to your personal settings every time you connect to the smart charger. The best part is, the Joyride is now priced at just $39.95 in the Cobra store. So click your way over to Cobra.com and look in the Wireless Products for great savings on the Cobra Joyride and a slew of other smart gizmos, too. You will be delighted that you did this. And so will I. Anne Hathaway trended on Wednesday following an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, where she belted out some hip-hop songs in a jazzy cabaret style. Most weeks, Fallon is turning out some video that ends up going viral, and last week he repeated the feat just a night later as he and Stevie Nicks recreated the video for the song Stop Dragging My Heart Around, with Fallon filling in for Tom Petty. Both videos have been watched about 2 million times. Stephen Colbert was also trending on Thursday as the news broke that bottom network CBS finally did something that might yield comedy. They've hired Colbert to replace the soon-to-retire David Letterman. CBS has typically gotten comedy all wrong, as proven by the outrageously unfunny shows The Big Bang Theory and How I Met Your Mother, which is broad fare trying for easy laughs. Stephen Colbert is nothing of the sort, but it will be interesting to see how the world reacts to Colbert when he is not doing the zany Colbert Report character. Both Stephen and CBS have said that when he takes over as host of The Late Show next year, he will not be bringing his nutball Comedy Central character with him, which is going to make for quite a shock. Probably because of how convincing he is on the Colbert Report, there are lots of people that mistakenly think that that's how Stephen really is. They do not realize his ill-informed, pompous, talking head character is just a routine. Among those so duped must be Rush Limbaugh, the right-wing pundit who has made a career out of being wrong, between coping with his addictions to painkillers and cookie dough. In his typical fashion, Limbaugh said this while waiting in line at Old Country Buffet, quote, "The world is changing. People don't want the kind of comedy that Carson gave us or even Letterman. It's the media planting a flag, media's last stand. But it's a declaration. There is no unity in this hire. They've hired a partisan, so-called comedian to run a comedy show." I can certainly say I am not interested in the comedy of Carson or Letterman. Times and tastes change. This is media's last stand, Rush? How can I stifle my laughter while reminding you that you work in radio? Media is exploding in new and dynamic ways at the speed of DSL, and there is a time coming when AM and FM will replace VHS and beta as the punchline in the jokes of emerging media forms. The absurdity of this statement is best encapsulated in Rush's parting jab. Colbert is a comedian, an incredibly gifted improviser that trained and toured with many future stars that came out of the Chicago improv scene. In fact, he is so good at donning comedic persona that you don't seem able to distinguish between Colbert, the real person, and Colbert, the character he created for laughs over at Comedy Central. To the right-wing reactionary that comforted his fellow conservatives by saying, "Not to worry, all of Colbert's viewers are stoned college dimwits," I can offer these two facts. The average age of a Colbert Report viewer is 43 years of age, according to the Nielsen Company. So maybe a college professor is what you meant. And while I am a Colbert Report fan, I have never been stoned, unless you count that time my village rose up and attacked me with rocks. And I am, in all fairness, somewhat dim-witted. But I got hit really hard with rocks. What do you want from me? And on Friday, the announcement came that Coldwater Creek would be going out of business. That's the store you've probably passed dozens of times without taking notice, before finally having that moment of realization that you would not be caught dead in Coldwater Creek. After the press conference concluded, the Deb was heard cackling maniacally. Google Glass was also hot on Friday, which I think is a phrase to be uttered less and less as the year goes on. Chandra Steele's piece for PCMag.com saw tons of traffic for asking, "Should you buy a Google Glass?" which made me counter-ask, "Why are we only now finding out that Toyota makes Subarus and GMs?" For a select time, Google Glass will be on sale to the general public and will only set you back $1,500. If you're one of those folks willing to sacrifice eye strain and unending scorn and harassment in the name of real-time Twitter stream updates and partially occluded vision, then April 15th at 9 o'clock a.m., have your bitcoins ready. On a flash drive. Or however you use them to pay for things that aren't in Farmville. A new Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe just published. It's called Robert Red Skull and has a lot of talk about Captain America the Winter Soldier. Before I make another trending show for you, we are likely to record another Grizz. That's my weekly pattern. Cobra.com, iTunes reviews, I'm out of here. Adios, amigos.